Good morning. It's good to be able to spend some time this morning in worship to God. I appreciate your presence. We have those who are visiting with us this morning, and we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. Sharon and I have family in because of the 4th of July weekend. It's always good to see family and friends as well, and we appreciate your presence this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. We will be spending some time this morning in the book of Hebrews. Our scripture reading around the Lord's table was in the book of Hebrews. And our scripture reading before the sermon was in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to spend some time in our lesson this morning. In our scripture reading, we're told that Jesus saves to the uttermost in verse 25. And that's going to be our lesson this morning. Have you ever started something and you were not able to finish it? We all experience things like that in our life. People will start a race and they are not able to finish it. Businesses will start a particular business venture, and because of money or lack of manpower, they're not able to finish. Sometimes people start school and they don't finish. Sometimes we might start a project around home and we don't get it done. We don't carry it all the way through. We don't complete it. And we're familiar with those kinds of things in life where something gets started. It could be a fault of our own. It could be maybe it's not even our own fault, where we can't complete or finish something all the way to the end. And because we experience those kinds of things in life, as Christians, we might be thinking that that might be something similar to our relationship with the Lord. Maybe God can't finish off what He started with us. Maybe we can't finish what God started with us. Maybe we've started the Christian process, but we can't finish it. Different things will come up in our life and we wonder if we can make it through that. We've gone part of the way, but I'm facing some difficulty or some issue in my life and I don't know if I can finish this off. We face those kinds of things from time to time. The book of Hebrews is written by a man to Jewish Christians. They're Christians, but they're in danger of falling away from Christ. They've got their minds on other things. Some of them want to go back to the world. Some of them want to go back to the old law under the Old Testament. There are different reasons why they are leaving the Lord, but He wants to get them to stay faithful to the Lord. And so He writes this book that we call Hebrews. It's called Hebrews because it's written to Jewish Christians. In Hebrews chapter 13, he calls it a word of exhortation. This whole book is called a word of exhortation. He's trying to exhort these Jewish Christians to stay faithful to Christ. So it's a word of exhortation. I want to mention this morning, as we begin our lesson, two ways in which the Hebrew writer does that, and then we'll get into our lesson. And turn back to Hebrews chapter 1. We're just going to take a brief survey of the book of Hebrews here real quick. One thing that the author does in this word of exhortation is he wants to say that Jesus will give you a better life if you will follow Him. So you Jewish Christians who think that you don't need Jesus anymore, I'm here to tell you that Jesus will give you the better life. So let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, the writer says that Jesus is better than the angels. Angels ministered to God in the Old and New Testament. They would come down to earth and they would minister different things. But Jesus is better than the angels because His ministry was to save mankind from sin. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. The second thing that the writer does is he says that Jesus is better than Moses. Moses was a great leader and he led God's people out of Egypt. And He led them through the wilderness. He was a great leader, great man. But Jesus is better than Moses because He leads people into heaven. He leads people into the promised land. And so, Jesus is a better leader than Moses. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7. Jesus is a better high priest. Now, Daniel mentioned this a little bit this morning around the Lord's table, that there were constantly new priests. They would die. The high priest would live for a while, and then he would die. And there were many high priests and many priests serving because they would live for a little bit, and then they would die. But Jesus is a better high priest, chapter 5, 6, and 7, because he comes after the order of Melchizedek, which was symbolic of someone who lived forever. And so Jesus is a better high priest. He's not living, dying. But when he died for the sins of mankind, that one-time sacrifice works forever. So he's a better high priest. Turn with me to chapter 8. Jesus provides a better covenant. You know, the old covenant was a great covenant. The old covenant brought people to Christ. The old covenant pointed out sin. Paul says in Galatians 3 that it served a great purpose to point out sin, bring people to Christ. But Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant because it's built upon better promises. Namely, the promise of forgiveness of sins. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. Jesus is the better sacrifice. Under the old law, there was multiple sacrifices. Again, Daniel alluded to this around the Lord's table. Multiple sacrifices over and over again. And these sacrifices were a constant reminder of the sinfulness of mankind. But Jesus is a better sacrifice because he's a one-time sacrifice for all. And then, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, 12, and 13. Jesus offers a better life. You know, the Old Testament life of the patriarchs was a life of faith. They had a great life. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. All these Old Testament faithful individuals in Hebrews chapter 11, great, great life of faith. But their life of faith was a life that was always looking forward. It was always looking forward to a better promise in the future. Their life was good, but it was constantly looking forward. The life of the Christian, chapter 11, 12, and 13, is a life of faith. But it's a life of faith where we have Jesus now. We can look at Jesus now. We don't have to anticipate Him. He's already come. And we can keep our eyes on Him. So 11, 12, 13, the better life. So one thing that the Hebrew writer does to encourage these Jewish Christians to stay faithful to the Lord is he says, look, Jesus will give you the better way. He will give you the better way. So you don't need to fall away from Him. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, the end of chapter 2, and let's look at the second thing that the Hebrew writer does that is for our lesson more in line with our lesson this morning. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 18. Here's the second thing that the Hebrew writer does to keep these folks faithful. He says, listen, I want to tell you about what Jesus can do for you. If someone came to you and said, this person can do such and such for you, this is why you need this product. If you buy this product, it'll do this for you. We sort of pay attention. So the writer says, listen, here's what Jesus will do for you. Number one, He will aid you. He will help you. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. For in that He, Jesus Himself, has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor or aid them that are tempted. Number one, Jesus can help you. He's gone through life like you have gone through life, and He knows what you're going through. He has experienced what you experience, and He can aid you and help you. Don't fall away from Him. He can help you. Look at chapter 4. Here's a second thing that Jesus can do. Chapter 4, verse 14. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that has been in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. He knows what we go through. He hasn't sinned, but He knows what we've gone through. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need. The second thing that Jesus will do is He'll give you help. He'll give you help in time of need. So you need to go to God, to the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, the throne of blessing, the throne of favor, and get this grace to help in time of need. We need to do that, brethren, in prayer. But then turn with me to chapter 7, then, and our scripture reading this morning. There's a third thing that Jesus will do for Christians, and that is, He will save you to the uttermost. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. He will save you to the uttermost. Now, the Hebrew writer is talking to Christians. They've already been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. And so in one sense, they have been saved. They're saved. But as they go through life, they need to continue to be saved. And Jesus can save you to the uttermost. And what encouragement that should give us. This word that is being used here means all the way to the end. I know the New American Standard uses the word forever, which has an emphasis on time. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, but really the idea is not so much time as it is something that is completely all the way through. Completely, entirely, totally, absolutely, utterly. Jesus can save you to the uttermost. So here's the point. The next time we think, like the person who doesn't finish the race, and the business who can't finish the job, and the person who doesn't finish school, and the person that doesn't get this done, and the person that doesn't get that done, for whatever reason, if we're thinking like that with regard to our relationship with God, we need to put that out of our thinking, the Hebrew writer says, because that's not true with Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, He can save you all the way to the end. And that's what we need to remember. Now, let's look at one other place where this word is used in the New Testament. And interestingly enough, it's used of Jesus again. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, and let's see what happened in the life of a woman who was having a problem. Turn with me to Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. And as He was teaching one day in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and behold, a woman that had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. Now, depending upon the version that you have, like especially if you have like the ESV, it will say something like this. She could not raise up completely, or she could not get all the way utterly up. She was bent over. She could not raise up in a normal way. She was bowed over. And when Jesus saw her, that's where that word is used there in verse 11. She could not utterly stand upright, if you will. When Jesus saw her, He called her and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And He laid His hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She could stand all the way up now. And the ruler of the synagogue, being moved with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, they didn't care about his compassion, and they didn't care about His ability to work miracles. They didn't care about anything like that. You broke our little rule of working on the Sabbath day, which He did not, of course. Jesus said to the multitude, "There are 6 days." Let me back up. The ruler of the synagogue, being moved with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and answered and said to the multitude, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the day of the Sabbath." But the Lord answered and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away for watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, to have been loosed from this bond on the day of the Sabbath?" And as He said these things, all of His adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitudes rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. She couldn't stand all the way up, completely or utterly or entirely, and He fixed that. Brethren, the Hebrew writer is saying this: Jesus saves to the fullest degree possible. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because I'm afraid sometimes as we go through life, we think maybe that there are some limitations in some areas of our life. And we've got to put that out of our mind. The Hebrew writer is saying in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 that he is able, look at that, he is able, Jesus has the power to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Put it out of our mind that we cannot completely be saved because something has entered into my life that is limiting me in some way, and the Hebrew writer is saying that is not the case. So what I want to look at this morning are some areas of our life in which this may be the case, where we need to be reminded that Jesus can save to the fullest degree. First of all, let's start with the very context, the very point that is being made here in this chapter. And that is that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost plan of salvation. Under the old law, back up with me in chapter 7 and verse 18, the law made nothing perfect. The law was not meant to complete mankind. That completion would come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The old law was meant to be temporary. The Old Testament system was meant to be temporary. It could not make a person complete, but Jesus can. And so when it comes to the plan of salvation, Jesus is the uttermost, the complete end of that plan of salvation. It's not found in anyone else. Jeff was telling me this morning that apparently there's some people out there now worshiping AI. There's a group of people that are worshiping AI. People will turn to everything but Jesus Christ. They'll turn to other people and they won't turn to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the complete end of the plan of salvation. Verse 18, he brings in a better hope. Verse 22, he offers a better covenant. Why? Because he abides forever. And brethren, when it comes to the plan of salvation, Jesus is the complete, the utterly, completely, entirely plan of salvation. We live in a world of pluralism, where everybody's got their beliefs about this and that, and all kinds of plans of salvation, and all kinds of gods, and all kinds of religions. And we've lost sight of the fact that Jesus can save to the uttermost when it comes to our plan of salvation. And so, Peter, for example, in Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he'll preach, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And I realize that that's not popular in a pluralistic world. I realize that that's not popular in a world increasingly in our own country where we see the rise of Islam and other religions. I realize that's not popular and that offends people and it upsets people. I get that. But it's the truth. The Hebrew writer is reminding us that there was a way under the old law that had its plan, but the writer says it had its built-in weaknesses, and it was not completely profitable, and it would not make a person complete. That was a plan under the old law that God had, but it's supposed to move toward Christ, and it did, and now He is the complete end of the plan of salvation. But let's look at another area of our life in which Jesus is able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost breadth of humanity. Somebody says, well, I don't know. I know some pretty bad dudes. I know some bad people out there. And there are bad people out there. But Jesus is able to save completely to the end of humanity. It doesn't matter who it is and how bad they are. He can save them. And when Jesus was saying how that He was the good shepherd and that people need to come to Him, turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so, brethren, you need to think about those friends and those co-workers that you have and family members. And you're thinking, well, man, they're pretty bad, and I just don't think that they would ever be saved. We've got to take the gospel to them and give them a chance. We've got to talk with them and give them a chance. Anyone can come and be saved. He saves to the uttermost breadth of humanity. Get the 8 billion plus people in the world, find anybody you want, and Jesus can save them. Doesn't matter how wicked and cruel and evil they are. All of the terrible things that they've done. Anyone can come and be saved. Now, not all do, but anyone can. And we need to remember that, because sometimes I think we preclude people. We say, well, I just don't think that so-and-so would want the gospel. Let's not preclude them. Let's give them an opportunity. And in John chapter 12 and verse 47, if any man hear my sayings and keep them not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Any person can have an opportunity to come to the Lord. And along those same lines, brethren, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost depth of depravity. You pick out in your mind someone who has done the most despicable thing that you can think of, and Jesus is able to save them. You have in your mind some of those ideas, and you're thinking, man, I can't believe that that monster would do such and such. You might have someone in world history in mind. You might have somebody that you've heard about recently in the news, and you're thinking, how could that monster do that? Well, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. There were bad people at Corinth. Homosexuals, adulterers, thieves, effeminate. People who would swindle others. People who would steal from others. People who would force themselves on others. And Paul said, such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pick out a person that is just a monster. And Jesus is able to save to the uttermost depth of depravity. So much so that Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, I am the chief of sinners. He said, I was a blasphemer. I was a violent aggressor, he said. But by the grace of God, he was given an opportunity to come to Christ, and he did. Brethren, we need to remember that. Jesus saves to the uttermost, all the way to the end. And when we're talking with others, we need to remember that. God, in the same book of 1 Timothy, God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And in James chapter 5, when we think about Christians, somebody says, well, and because Hebrews is written to Christians, I want to include some passages here that deal with Christians. Somebody says, well, there are some Christians that I know of that have turned away from the Lord, and they're really bad. Well, that may be the case. But just remember Hebrews 7:25. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. And so when we go talk with others, there have been those who have erred from the truth. If anyone err from the truth and one of you convert him, let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his way, he's talking about Christian sinners, shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Well, this person doesn't go to church anymore, and this person has done this to their spouse, and they've done this to their kids, and they've hurt the... And, well, we can try to bring them back, and Jesus can save to the uttermost. And we need to remember that. And what a great encouragement that is. You know, Jesus can save to the uttermost guilt of conscience. God gives us a conscience. And when we do wrong, it bothers us until we've hardened it. We're not supposed to harden it. But until we've hardened our conscience, it bothers us. And it doesn't matter how badly it bothers us. We can come out of that. We can get out of that. And Jesus can save us. When Peter denied the Lord, he wept. Oh, look at what I have done. To see a grown man cry, that's something to think about. And Peter was no weakling. He was a strong man. And he realized, I have done wrong. And yet, he comes back to the Lord and Jesus doesn't give up on him. Brethren, we can get in a situation where we might be thinking, well, wait a minute. I feel really badly about what I have done. That is just not good at all. Okay. Jesus can save to the uttermost depth of that guilt. And so James writes to Christians, wherefore, putting away, he's writing to Christians, not just people out in the world, put away all filthiness and the overflowing of wickedness. First of all, why are Christians even thinking that way? Why are Christians having this overflowing of wickedness? It would be bad if they just had one sin in their life. Apparently, James is talking to some brethren that have a lot going on in their life that's not good. And James says you can put that away and you can come and you can hear the Word of God and do it and obey it. And I'm sure the consciences of some of those brethren in James 1:21, surely it bothered them. Put away all wickedness, all filthiness, and all overflowing of wickedness. Surely their conscience bothered them. So, brethren, we need to understand that if we're in that situation and if we've done something similar that Peter did, and if we find ourselves like the Apostle Paul, don't give up and just say, well, I quit. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Jesus can save you all the way to the end of even that kind of thing in your life. And before we close this morning, we're going to see how to do that. Just give me a few minutes. We'll see how to do that. But we can do it. You know, Jesus can save to the uttermost span of time. This is probably what the New American Standard is leaning toward, this matter of He can save forever. It doesn't matter what the time frame is. Somebody says, well, I've been a Christian a long time and I've quit and I've given up. And here I'm at the end of my life and why try anymore? I'm at the end. Let's just quit. It doesn't matter up until your dying day, up until your dying breath. We can be saved. And that's an encouragement. And you know why? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Jesus... This is amazing. Jesus' blood can save even going back in time. Back in time. Jesus' blood saved all of those faithful under the old covenant. And so He shed His blood for the transgressions of those under the old law. Going backward, going forward, time doesn't matter. Jesus can save everybody from Abel all the way up until the last saved when He comes again. And then look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the whole point. Jesus is not limited by time. This is not talking about, as our Pentecostal friends say, that whatever was in the New Testament, like speaking in tongues, is still today. That's not the point of that verse. The point of that verse is that Jesus is the one who saves us, and we come to Him, and we can come to Him yesterday, today, and forever. He's always there. He's always there. And so the very next verse in verse 9, don't go after false teaching. Stay with Jesus. What a beautiful thing that is. Somebody says, well, I don't know. I think we're running out of time. We're running out of time with such and such person. No, you're not. Talk with them. Study with them. Work with them. Call them. Text them. Visit them. Jesus can save to the uttermost span of time. And Jesus can save to the uttermost kind of sin and temptation. Well, you don't understand, Brother Reese. I'm going through such and such, and I'm telling you, it's really hard. Maybe it is. But none of that is off limits to Jesus. God will always give us a way of escape, no matter what it is. Well, you don't understand, because at my age, I'm a young man, or I'm a young woman, or this particular thing, or that particular thing. And we do have generational things that where young people are facing these kinds of things that maybe older people aren't facing. We do have those kinds of things. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what kind of sin it is, what kind of temptation it is, Jesus can save to the uttermost. Maybe you've heard of people that get out of just some very terrible things. And you're like, how in the world did that happen? Brethren, there are going to be things in life where we can't finish it off, okay? That's going to be. That is not the case with Jesus. He will save all the way to the very end in all of these situations in our life. So we don't need to use these different kinds of situations as excuses to give up. That's the whole point of the Hebrew writer. He can save you, you Christians, to the uttermost. And it's a comfort. It's an encouragement. It's a consolation. It gives us hope. We don't sit there and go, well, there's such and such area of my life that just Jesus can't touch that. No. To the uttermost. All the way, entirely, completely, in all of these areas of our life. What a great encouragement that is. And then, any situation that comes up. Well, Brother Reese, what if it's a bad marriage situation? What if it's a bad family situation? What if it's a job loss? And what if it's a death in the family? And what if it's this? And what if it's that? Well, you don't think Jesus knows about all kinds of situations in life? And here the Apostle Paul is likely another Roman imprisonment right toward the end of his life. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. People have left him. People have neglected him. People have run off. Few of his friends are left. He's in a very, very terrible situation in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom. You don't understand. I'm in a bad situation. I can still be saved and obey the gospel and live right. And Paul was in a very bad situation. He had people, verse 14, doing him much evil. He had people leaving him. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. You ever felt isolated? You ever felt like people are attacking you? You ever felt like, well, this is it? Paul said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom. So it doesn't matter what situations we're going through. Nothing is off limits to Jesus. And then last of all, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost degree of any need that you and I might have. Well, you don't understand the needs that I have. My needs are great. That's fine. Jesus can handle that. Well, I don't know. They're pretty big. No, Jesus can save to the uttermost degree of need. And we all have different needs. Everybody in here this morning has different needs. Different things that have happened in your life. And Jesus, aids that, He succors that, He helps that. We just need to come to the throne of grace and receive grace to help in time of need. So let's answer the question as we close this morning then. How is all of this possible? Well, first of all, if you come back with me to Hebrews chapter 7, we're told why Jesus is able to do this, because He abides forever. And that's one of the points that the Hebrew writer tries to make in this section of chapters 5, 6, and 7, that Jesus is a greater high priest because He abides forever. This is why Jesus is able to do, and He's able to save to the uttermost, because He is God. He's the very image of God. We're told that all the way back in chapter 1, the first few verses. He's the very image of God. He abides forever, and that's why He's able to do this. And He makes intercession for us. Look at verse 25. Because He ever lives, number one, and number two, to make intercession for them. Jesus is in heaven. Paul will corroborate this in Romans chapter 8. He's offering intercession for us. We've got Him on our side. So all of those things that we were looking at earlier, all of the situations, all of the temptations, the life situations, the guilt, the depravity, all of that, Jesus is saying as an intercessor, what can we do to help this Christian? Do we need to give Him more time? Do we need to be long-suffering and patient? What do we need to do? Because we're going to save to the uttermost. What an encouragement that is. But look at the condition that the Hebrew writer lays down. We have to constantly be drawing near to God. Here, brethren and friends, is how you get Jesus to help you all the way to the end of anything in your life, if you and I will draw near to God. And it's a participle, drawing near to God. It's a constant thing. It's a regular thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's not just when I'm baptized into Christ. Daily, I must be drawing near to God. And when I'm drawing near to God regularly, daily, often, He will save to the uttermost. That's why I constantly pray. That's why I constantly read my Bible. That's why I'm always here at the Warfield Building when the doors are open. I'm drawing near to God, and He is going to save me to the uttermost. He's not going to do that when we're not drawing near. When I'm not praying and reading my Bible and I'm not present here when I could be here, I'm not talking about illness, bad weather, things like that. But when I can be here and I'm here and I'm drawing near to God, He saves to the uttermost. And you know how I do that? I do it with reverence. I draw near to God. Chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Here's how I draw near to God. I fear and respect God. He's a consuming fire. I draw near with confidence, chapter 3 and verse 14. I draw near with obedience. Somebody says, okay, well, how do you draw near to God? Well, in addition to the prayer, reading my Bible and being here, the Hebrew writer tells us, when I have reverence and respect for God, I draw near to Him. When I have confidence and boldness and assurance of living the Christian life, I draw near to God. And when I obey Him, I draw near to God. What a great thing that is. And then last of all, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore also He, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost them, look at this, that draw near unto God through Him. We've got to come to God through Jesus Christ. And we do that when we obey the gospel and we're baptized into Christ. What a great promise that is. He saves to the uttermost. There are going to be things in life where we don't complete it, we don't finish it, we don't get it all done, we can't get all the way out to the very end. That's going to happen in life. But it'll never happen to the Christian who's drawing near to God. There will be salvation to the uttermost of anything that comes up in life. So, brethren, as we leave this morning, I hope that that will encourage us to stay faithful to the Lord. There may be someone here this morning that needs to begin that journey. We can baptize you into Christ. There may be a child of God that needs to come back in some way. We can help you in that way. What a great thing that we serve Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost. In times today when we can't finish things off, Jesus will. What an encouragement that is. And if we can help you with that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?